Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday. Can you believe it's Friday already? Wow, this week has flown by. September 8th, 2017. We've got a great 60 minutes of sports talk that look to head you into the weekend the right way. All right, a great show in store for you all as we will talk about the start of the NFL season, which officially began last night. The New England Patriots hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. A stunning loss for the defending Super Bowl champions. What went wrong for the GOAT, Tom Brady and company? We'll dissect that game. We'll also provide a preview as the Detroit Lions get ready to open up the year against the Arizona Cardinals. 1 p.m. Sunday, downtown Detroit at Ford Field. We'll talk about the Honolulu Blue opening up the year. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk college football on today's Current Sports, seeing as though your Michigan State Spartans. Well, welcome to Spartan Stadium, the Western Michigan University Broncos. The Broncos, man, did they look good in week one against USC, at the time ranked as the number four college football program in the nation. Oh, the Trojans biting their nails as that one came down to the wire. So what does that bode for the Spartans as they welcome the Broncos to Spartan Stadium? And Michigan State, of course, coming off a win against the Bowling Green Falcons. We'll break down that game. We also will talk high school football on today's Current Sports. So we have three levels of football that we will be engaging in discussion here on Current Sports. High school football week three already, as we continue our weekly high school football previews with Zach Berridge, WILX TV10 sports reporter and anchor. You get to hear what Zach has to say as we have many of our local teams starting league championship contention tonight. All of that including Reflection Friday, as we will reflect on the week that has been right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. You don't want to miss that. And as we customarily do, we allow you to be a part of the Current Sports fun. If you want to join the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media. As we always do, we have the Facebook live stream up and running at facebook.com/currentsports. And you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Thank you.
All right, following its 35-10 season opening win over Bowling Green, Michigan State football will play host to Western Michigan on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. inside of Spartan Stadium. The Broncos battled at number 4 USC last weekend, but ultimately fell 49-31 after tying the game at 28 in the final stanza. The Spartans will be wearing an all-white uniform and helmet combination for the first time ever at home on Saturday. Michigan State has been wearing all-white unis on the road, during road games since 2014, but unveiled its new white helmet over the summer. The design features the green Spartan helmet logo on both sides, filled in with the Spartan green pattern that was designed by Nike. The same Spartan green pattern fills in the stripe in the middle of the helmet. MSU has only worn white helmets at home in two previous games, both arriving in the 1954 season, October 2nd versus Wisconsin and October 23rd versus Purdue. And Spartan fans out there, Michigan State is calling for a whiteout. So wear white if you are attending tomorrow afternoon's game. MSU is 11-2 against WMU in East Lansing, including an 8-0 record in Spartan Stadium. How about that? Should be a fun game tomorrow. All right, Johnny Spirit. You guys know him, right? I mean, he rides around on a bicycle, paints his body green with a block white S. He's one of the biggest, well, I should say the biggest, Michigan State fans out there. Johnny Spirit isn't banned, though, from Spartan Stadium. MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis announced that yesterday. Quote, "We have no knowledge of him," Johnny Spirit, "being removed from the stadium, nor is he banned in any way. He is a fan," Hollis said in an email late yesterday. Now, reports have spread on Facebook that Johnny Spirit was removed from Saturday's game against Bowling Green 3 times and that he was banned from future events. Attempts to reach him from the Lansing State Journal were unsuccessful, and he is notoriously known for avoiding media interviews anyway. So there you have that. All right, the Spartan women's soccer team dropped to number 17 Wake Forest on a rainy Thursday night at DeMartin Stadium. 4-1 the final of that one. Michigan State falls to 4-3-0 in their final non-conference game of the year, while Wake Forest improves to 6-1-0 on the season. Now, in the first half, the Spartan defense was put to work by Wake Forest. Michigan State faced 12 shots, 5 of which were on target. A shot snuck past redshirt senior goalkeeper Savannah Wojnarowski in the 31st minute of the game to put the Demon Deacons ahead by 1. Michigan State begins conference play next Thursday, September 14th, against Indiana at DeMartin Stadium. You can watch that one on BTN Plus. The number 13 Michigan State men's soccer team will open Big Ten action today at Rutgers. The game can be seen on BTN Plus. The Spartans improved to 4-0-0 this year with a pair of home wins against Dartmouth and Cleveland State. Michigan State won both games by identical 1-0 scores against Dartmouth. The Spartans set a school record with 3,515 fans in the first ever men's night game at DeMartin Stadium. Following the quick road trip to Rutgers, Michigan State will return home to host Bowling Green on Wednesday, September 13th at 7 p.m. Well, Hurricane Irma, folks. Friday night's scheduled matchup against the number 2 Florida Gators in Gainesville for the Michigan State women's volleyball team has been canceled due to the approach of Hurricane Irma. The match was scheduled for a 5 p.m. start inside of Exactech Arena at the Stephen C. O'Connell Center. Other active ankle challenge matches involving Michigan State, Florida American, and UNC Greensboro were also canceled earlier in the week. The Spartans will return to East Lansing this afternoon and begin preparations for next weekend's Notre Dame Shamrock Invitational out in South Bend, Indiana. Michigan State will tangle with Southern Illinois, Central Michigan, and the host Fighting Irish in the final weekend of non-conference play. And again, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone out there who is in the path of Hurricane Irma. All right, Michigan State field hockey hits the road to face 2 ranked opponents this weekend. Now, tonight, the Spartans will head to number 25 Old Dominion for a 5 p.m. match at L.R. Hill Sports Complex in Norfolk, Virginia. On Sunday, Michigan State will face number 10-ranked Virginia in a neutral site game that will be hosted by Old Dominion at LR Hill Sports Complex. That match is slated for 11 a.m. MSU is now 3-2. A win on the Big Ten Conference, of course. Big Ten play has not begun for the Michigan State field hockey team. But 3-2 in the 2017 season after going 1-1 last weekend. Both of the Spartans' losses have come against ranked opponents in number 25 Pacific and number 21 American. Two of the three victories for the Green and White have come overtime, including one victory in double OT. The Cincinnati Bearcats come to the Big House to play Michigan after a 4-8 season that saw a head coaching change and plenty of attrition. They are coming off a win over Austin, PA of the football championship subdivision. Michigan college football defensive coordinator Don Brown said earlier this week that he's expecting the Bearcats to spread the field with formations and possibly throw the football, quote, all over the field a lot, end quote, if possible. All right, and last but not least, week three of local high school football action. Hard to believe that week three is already here, but bear with me as I bring to you the local matchups tonight if you're trying to get out and enjoy some Friday Night Lights gridiron action. East Lansing at Grand Ledge, Holt at Jackson, Lansing Catholic at Eaton Rapids, Sexton at Everett, Williamson at Portland, Mason at DeWitt, Charlotte. I will get an email about that if I don't pronounce that right. Charlotte at Waverly, Okemos at Lansing Eastern, Fenton at Owosso, Fowlerville at Ionia, Hazlitt at St. John's, Merrill at Ashley, Perry at Lakewood, Stockbridge at Maple Valley, Chesaning at Alma, St. Louis at Ithaca, Leslie at Olivet, Byron at Corunna, Bath at Fowler, Potterville at Fulton, Dansville at Langsburg, Saranac at Pomona, Westphalia, Ovid Elsie at Saginaw Valley Lutheran, Carson City Crystal at Breckenridge, Portland St. Pat at Weberville, and Morris at Burton Madison. That is what your local slate of week three high school football action looks like. Again, stay tuned as we will invite Zach Berridge, WILX-TV10 sports reporter and anchor to the show. He will help us preview tonight's local high school football action. You don't want to miss that. Trust me, folks. But hey, in the meantime, let's start the show.
Attitude and a championship attitude that you need to bring every day, and you know, we had it handed to us on our own field, and you know, it's a terrible feeling, and you know, there's only people that can do something about it are in that locker room. We got to dig a lot deeper, and we did tonight because we didn't dig very deep tonight. You know, didn't make a lot of plays tonight actually, so we just have to be a lot better in a lot of areas, and starting with our attitude and our competitiveness, and we have to do a lot better tonight.
Sloan Stephens has beaten one of her idols here on Arthur Ashe Stadium, the biggest arena for tennis on earth, in the semifinals of the final major of the year.
That is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We are so honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I am your host, Al Martin. What a night it was. Those were two events that I tuned into last night before hitting the gym at 12:30 a.m. Yes, I go to the gym at 12:30 a.m., folks. I don't like waiting on equipment, so that's why I always wait until the end of the night. Didn't get much sleep last night, due to the New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs game, the start of the NFL season is here. But I was flipping back and forth at the beginning of that game due to an incredible tennis match. A semifinal match between Sloane Stephens and Venus Williams. If you did not catch that match, it was one of the best tennis matches I've seen in a long time. Sloane Stephens, a few points that were just like, it looked like she was out of a video game. I mean, just absolutely sick. I mean, her coverage on a tennis court is amazing to me. She's so athletic. And now you have Sloane Stephens taking on Keys. It's gonna be a really intriguing final at the U.S. Open. The last time an American woman, other than Serena or Venus, won a major was 2002, in which Jennifer Capriati took that title. Well, that is about to change as two Americans, and Stevens and Keys, will meet in the U.S. Open final. That's going to be fun to watch. But I was flipping back and forth between those two events. They were so fun last night. And I want to address first the New England Patriots falling at Gillette Stadium to the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the most silent I have heard Gillette Stadium through my speakers on my television in a long time, maybe ever. Now, I know that many fans who have attended a Patriots game at Gillette Stadium say that the crowd isn't overly raucous. They aren't crazy out there. However, it was pretty silent. It was like really, really silent as that game went along. I mean, and you know, it's so funny because everybody's now panicking. Patriots fans are panicking out there saying, oh my gosh, has our reign come to an end? Tom Brady looked like his age last night. What is going on? And that New England Patriots defense, admittedly, was not great. It was pretty bad last night. I mean, they got curb stomped last night. 21-0 in the fourth quarter. At home, the New England Patriots? Say it ain't so. They gave up 537 yards of offense and a staggering 8.3 yards per play to check down Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith had the best game of his career last night. Don't get me wrong. Alex Smith is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, I believe. But I've never seen him play that good. 28 of 35. 368 yards. For a QBR of 83.2. Amazing. He played out of his mind last night with the help of two young stars. You will be hearing their names throughout this NFL year a lot. First off, I want to talk about Kareem Hunt, the rook from Toledo, who I believe last year in his senior season with Toledo did not lose a fumble all year. First carry in his NFL career in the regular season, he coughs it up. The New England Patriots defense looked like they were really going to give it to the Kansas City Chiefs. But that Chiefs defense steps up. They had numerous fourth down stops last night. I don't know why Bill Belichick and that offense didn't decide to go with a patented Tom Brady QB sneak up the middle. Maybe they're worried about his health. Don't want to get him injured, especially in week one, right? I don't know. Or even throw the football. I mean, it was just runs up the middle on fourth down, fourth and short. I didn't understand that last night. But anyway, the Chiefs defense played awesome last night. Really stymied Tom Brady in that offense. And Kareem Hunt just shakes off that horrendous start to the game and goes on to produce 246 yards from scrimmage in his NFL debut. Three touchdowns. Absolutely amazing. Was he good or what last night? And then you had Tyreek Hill, who did get injured, though. I believe he tweaked his ankle or something playing special teams. Tyreek Hill, he was also great last night. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with. He had seven catches for 133 yards last night. on 8 targets. Only didn't catch one ball that was thrown his way. Amazing. And going back to Hunt as well, I mean, Hunt is a guy you can just plug and play. I mean, you can put him as a running back. You can put him as a receiver, which is new for him this season, but he didn't look like he was a rookie last night. I mean, he's Mr. Do-It-All. Watch out for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, folks, let's be real here. All of the panic that I'm seeing from New England Patriots fans out there, relax. It's week one. It's week one. We are still talking about the New England Patriots. People in panic mode over week one? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is the Patriots. Bill Belichick. He's a defensive guru. Once defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells and his great New York Giants teams. You better believe that when Belichick looks at that horrendous defense from week one, a defense that was poor. I mean, I can't put in perspective how bad that defense was in that game last night. That's the worst defensive performance I've seen from the Patriots. But you better believe that Bill Belichick, who is a defensive-minded coach, when he looks at that film, it will be corrected. You better believe that. It will be corrected. I am not worried about the Patriots moving forward. And then this whole talk about Tom Brady being over the hill. Get your cane and oxygen tank ready, Brady. You're too old. Stop it. Relax. Relax. You'll read a lot of nonsense about Tom Brady being old and done on social media. You'll hear a lot of people allude to that on television as well. It wasn't his finest effort. Yes, 11 of his passes were off target. But let's be real here. Look at the personnel he had to deal with last night. It was his first game without safety blanket, Julian Edelman. And it's amazing because, you know, Edelman, who's out for the year, since 2009, Julian Edelman, his first year with the Pats, up until now, get this, the Patriots are 84-19 when Edelman plays. That is an 82% win percentage. In games he hasn't played, the Pats are 15-10. They only win 60% of their games, which is still more than half, but still, I mean, my gosh. 84-19 when Edelman's on the field and you take him away from the equation, that's a big loss. You know, he was facing an elite corner in Marcus Peters last night who just totally erased one side of the field for Tom Brady to throw to. Marcus Peters was amazing last night. And Danny Amendola suffering a concussion early in the fourth quarter. That hurts. Once Amendola went out the game, the Patriots couldn't move the ball. So I'm curious to see what they'll do at the slot in week two if Amendola isn't healthy. That's going to be a big loss. But they put up 27 points through three quarters. Brady can still throw an absolutely beautiful deep ball. The Patriots are going to be fine. And now this whole talk about 19-0, right? The Patriots will be undefeated this year. I'm glad that's done and over with now. So we don't have to hear NFL analysts debate about that left and right. The Patriots are brought back to earth somewhat, but they're still the New England Patriots. If the Patriots are still struggling come the middle of the season, then we can realistically have this conversation. But that was a very good Kansas City Chiefs team last night. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's talk some college football, Michigan State and Western at Spartan Stadium tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Michigan State trying to improve to 2-0 while Western is seeking its first win on the year after really pushing the number 4 at the time, USC Trojans out in La La Land to the brink. Especially in that fourth quarter, man, it was really interesting to watch that fourth quarter as Western really competed against the Trojans. And that's a performance from the Broncos that has a lot of Spartan fans very weary heading into this game. I must say, I'm not really confident that Michigan State will beat the Broncos tomorrow. I'm just not. You know, don't get me wrong. I thought Brian Lewerke had a a great debut as the starting quarterback for this team. But I must say, and also I thought this was pretty cool. That wide receiver core, engineer Isaac Constance, they're calling themselves the Bad Boys. Have you heard about that?
No, I didn't.
I love that. The Bad Boys. Tristan Jackson, Daryl Stewart Jr., Felton Davis. They're calling themselves the Bad Boys. I love that. Kind of a knockoff the Pistons Bad Boys from the 80s. But still, I like that nickname.
I kind of like it. I mean, I like that they're paying tribute to the old and whatnot at the same time. Bad Boys is usually earned after two championships, not one game.
But the Pistons were the Bad Boys before that championship.
Yeah, they were. But you know what I'm saying. That's why I stuck around. Yeah,
I hear you, though. If Michigan State wants to win tomorrow against the Broncos, they have to do a few things, in my estimation, Isaac. First off, they got to make quarterback John Wasink beat them. Because if Michigan State allows that run game, which actually tallied close to 300 yards against USC last week, 263 last week, if they allow that run game to get going, sophomore quarterback John Wasink, he can relax a little bit. And it takes the pressure off of his shoulders. Just much like, you know, Brian Lewerke. I think Michigan State's run game has to be better than it was last week. And if they want to slow down the Western Michigan offense, that defense has to stop and stymie the Broncos' run game. You got to make this young quarterback, you put it on his arm. Put it on his arm. I think that will be a key, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few blitzes here and there to start from that Michigan State defense to try and slow down the Broncos offense. So, turnovers, that can't happen in this game. L.J. Scott has to be better. Right now, L.J. Scott, there is a spotlight on him because the junior running back in Scott, he had two fumbles last weekend. He has to show to Mark D'Antonio, that coaching staff in Spartan Nation, that this will not be a regular bugaboo. Simple as that. I think Scott, out of the three-headed monster with Madre London, Gerald Holmes, and L.J. Scott, I think Scott has the most potential out of that running back core. He has to be consistent come tomorrow, and he cannot cough up the football. I'm not giving you guys any breaking news there. Take care of the football. Simple as that, right? And Darius Phillips, my goodness, Darius Phillips is good. He is must-see television, folks. I'm looking forward to seeing him once he does make that leap to the NFL. Darius Phillips is dangerous as a kick returner. He's also a very stout corner as well. If you remember back in 2015, to begin the year, Michigan State playing Western, the Spartans trying to slow down Phillips, it didn't happen. Phillips had a 100-yard touchdown return and a 75-yard return on the opening kickoff. Darius Phillips is dangerous. The special teams has to keep the football out of his hands. And I'm curious to see how Michigan State handles this matchup, especially if it's close down to the wire, Isaac. It will be very telling to see how Michigan State, a young Michigan State football team, deals with that kind of a game. This is a good early test for them because I do believe this is a good litmus test to see exactly what this team is made of. I think Brian Lewerke will be good tomorrow. We saw some positives for him last weekend, and I think the Bad Boys will have an opportunity to show out here in this game. I'm not sold on Western secondary. I think there's some room there for Brian Lewerke to let it fly and to have some success down the field, especially from what we saw from Daryl Stewart on Saturday, who had 150 all-purpose yards. With that being said, I'm going with Michigan State to lose this game. I am. I think Western is going to top the Spartans tomorrow at Spartan Stadium. Again, predictions are for losers, but it's Sports Talk Radio. I'm going Broncos 31, Spartans 27.
You stole the score right out of my mouth.
Stop.
Except that I was going the opposite way. I think okay. MSU wins this 31-28, but I think you hit on the reasons why this will be so close. For one, MSU just doesn't have to contend with a return game in Darius Phillips, who also, as you said, is a stud cornerback and had a pick against USC and a kick return for a touchdown that's one of the best in the nation. They've got a new kickoff specialist in Brett Scanlon, who I think needs to be tested out a little bit if you're Western. Make sure that he's kicking to Phillips and they try to open up as many holes as possible. Mm-hmm. Then you go over and you look at that Western offensive front, which is debuting a lot of new faces this year, starting with John Wasink, of course, and then going over to the receiving corps as well. They weren't fantastic last time, but the run game did pretty well against USC. I think they'll be able to pound and have some success against the Spartans because we know that MSU was liable to open up some holes against Bowling Green. Western Michigan has a much better offensive line than Bowling Green did. That'll be a key for the Spartans as well.
So you think stopping the run for Michigan State, that's going to be a big problem?
I think that's going to be key.
A problem.
But, yeah, I think it will be a problem for MSU. I think Western will be able to exploit them in some ways right there. But I think the key in this game comes down to MSU's creativity on the offensive front. Mm-hmm. Western gave up an average of 6.8 yards a carry to USC last week.
Right.
That's atrocious. I mean, that's just flat out bad. And that's with forcing two picks from Sam Darnold, who was a preseason Heisman favorite. But for them to give up those rushing yards they did, MSU needs to not overreact to a game one flub from LJ Scott, go to the ground again, pound, and then use Darryl Stewart as creatively as you can, as multifaceted as you can. Otherwise, Western will be able to settle into this game. It's not too far from their house. They're used to games now of this spotlight and attention, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to give the Spartans a run for their money.
Okay.
Like I said, 31-28 MSU, but either way, this is a close game. Take the under.
What do you think, folks? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. A few comments via our Facebook page. Ben Grimes, it's going to be 34-21. Sparty. So he believes it's going to be a Sparty party at Spartan Stadium tomorrow. Also, Chris Jennings says, MSU will run the ball tomorrow because WMU got burned by the USC run game. All right, call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite live to Studio S, Zach Berridge of WILX TV10. He'll help preview tonight's week 3 action of local high school football. We'll be right back. This is an exciting week for high school football, seeing as though league title contention officially begins for a number of our local high school programs. Hard to believe that week 3 is already here. And as a part of our weekly high school football preview segment, we once again welcome WILX TV10 sports reporter and anchor Zach Berridge to Studio S. Zach, what's up, dude?
Thanks for having me again, Al.
Always, man. Good seeing you, man. Another. Yeah, I can't believe we're already on week 3.
Right?
That's
a third of the way over.
Yeah,
regular season at least. And then you get into November and some of the playoffs. But yeah, third of the way over. And
I can't
and
believe that.
Pro football hasn't even started yet.
Exactly. I can't wait.
Well, I guess it has.
I got my Cowboys hoodie on, dude. I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. So yeah, we're 2 days away from the start of the NFL season. Well, last night, you had the Patriots and and Chiefs, but on your network actually too on NBC.
Right?
Last
yeah,
night.
That, boy, that was a 6-hour game, wasn't it? That went into the right. early hours.
A lot of people are coming into work early.
Very
well,
tired.
I should say late.
Very tired
today.
Yeah.
All right, let's start, Zach, with looking at last week. Of course, last weekend was Labor Day weekend. All of our local high school action occurred on Thursday night instead of Friday night. If you had to pick a team and player of the week, a Berridge team and player of the week for week two, which team and player would it be and why?
I think the player was pretty obviously the guy who was running up and down the field up in Cadillac last week, Connor Neer of St. John's. And I've seen conflicting numbers of his the Cadillac news or whatever the newspaper is up there. They reported it at like 260 yards and 7 touchdowns. But I've heard down here he had 350 yards. Whatever it was, he scored a lot and he ran a lot. And considering I don't think he was really in the mix of the backfield a season ago. I think he was more of maybe a fullback type guy.
Right.
And suddenly he's just doing this. That's an amazing game. One of probably the best games so far for mid-Michigan teams. And St. John's will have another shot against Hazlett tonight as they're hosting the Vikings. So we'll see if Connor Neer can build on that.
Yeah, definitely.
I would give it to DeWitt.
Okay.
And I'll admit, when we talked about the Grand Ledge DeWitt game last week, I thought Grand Ledge would be able to win that game. But
I felt the same way.
But
right.
Then again, it's been forever since DeWitt was 0-2 to start the season. And so to think otherwise under Rob Zimmerman's team is probably foolish of us to do that. And they proved a lot of people wrong, I think. And I think you got to give it to them going up against Grand Ledge. And and that was a defensive battle, which was – I didn't expect that either. So I guess, you know, they both taught us some new things last week. So both teams 1-1, and that would have been – tough for DeWitt to start 0-2 for the first time in a long time, but they got the job done.
Yeah, that DeWitt defense was very impressive. We were at that game last weekend, and it was just shocking just how efficient that defense was against a quarterback like Mr. Bird
right.
over there for the Commons. So, and now DeWitt actually will play Mason tonight, I believe, and Mason still seeking its first points mm-hmm. of the high school football year.
Boy,
so.
Can you believe that? That was an eight win team last year, and I know they lost a lot, and obviously Coach Jerry Van Havel, and they lost a lot. But it's just a very realistic opportunity that they don't have any points through 3 weeks. Going against the power that is DeWitt,
isn't that crazy?
That would be a shame just to see Mason fall that way. I don't think anyone's expecting them to win, but we hope they get on the board at least.
As I mentioned in the intro, league championship races begin for a lot of our local teams starting tonight. I have to ask, Zach, which league intrigues you the most when discussing the conference championship race?
I think by default it's the blue, just because Grand Ledge showed weakness last week. Okemos kind of a surging wild card. Once they play each other, we'll see what happens mm-hmm. With that. And then there's Sexton, who's 2-0. And, they beat Portland, which hadn't lost a regular season game in a long, long, long time. I think 2 years they hadn't lost a regular season game. And Sexton looked pretty good. Boy, I was at that game for the finish of that. They gave up some points late. There was about a minute 10 left on the clock, and they marched there about 75 yards or so in about 40 seconds, Sexton did, to get the game-winning score with about 35 seconds left. Those are all approximate numbers. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they scored aided by a couple big plays, and Sexton looks good. I think it'll get, Okemos, them, Grand Ledge, and we'll see what happens with East Lansing tonight, too. They're going to – it's almost weird to say it's a championship-type game this early on in the season,
early,
but,
right.
but it is, because in a lot of these leagues, the league champion goes undefeated. That's how it always is in the CMAC.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. been Pullman-Westphalia. That's how it is in a lot of these. You don't always have losses for some of the league champions. So once league play starts, you have to win every one if you want to win the league, it seems like. The blue's always exciting. CMAC. I'll get to that, but I think the white as well too. A lot can be decided tonight. Portland and Williamson playing each other in Portland,
mm-hmm.
and Williamson and Lansing Catholic, I believe, are the only two CWC white schools that are 2-0. But when's the last time Portland lost two games in a row?
Exactly.
So
right.
So Williamson's going to have their hands full. That game will be very, very interesting in Portland tonight. And then in the CMAC, I think everyone's it'll come down to PW. Langsburg has a shot to give them a run. But there's only two teams that are 2-0 in the CMAC right now. Do you know what they are?
No. Who are they? It's not PW.
No,
because PW lost
week one, right?
Yeah, week one in the opener.
Two 2-0 teams in the CMAC, Bath, Saranac.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that, you know, 3 weeks ago, I would have said, no, you're crazy.
I mean, granted, PW played Monroe St. Mary.
Exactly.
And so, you know, they're playing different levels of competition. But, you know, I thought that was interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. And then you look at the GLAC, and there's the big one out in Lake Odessa with Lakewood and Perry, a couple 2-0 teams. And
right.
Everyone knows the story of the Ramblers trying to make the postseason for the first time. So if they can go in there and get a win over Lakewood, they're set up pretty well to make their first postseason trip.
Now, Zach, I want to get back to that CAAC Blue matchup. You know, East Lansing at Grand Ledge. Grand Ledge has won the last three games in this series. The Comets won in a tight game on the road last year in Route 2, its second straight CAAC Blue crown. EL finished second. And both the Trojans and the Comets are coming off losses this week. I have to ask, when evaluating that game between the Trojans and the Comets, who has the biggest chip on their shoulder in this one? Both coming off losses.
Well, they're both 1-1, right?
And they're both 1-1.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bigger chip, I guess it's got to be Grand Ledge, right? I mean,
losing to a team like DeWitt, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, a good team,
mm-hmm.
a team that they shouldn't be ashamed to have lost to.
Exactly.
But I mean, same thing with East Lansing, especially because they played, you know, a couple future Big Ten players, Theo Day and whoever the guy is that's going to Michigan. I'm blanking on his name right now, but and that was with whatever team that was mm-hmm. last week that East Lansing lost to. And
I believe it was was that the Dearborn
Divine Child?
Oh, yeah. Quarterback that's is going to U of M next year.
Yep. Theo Day and I wasn't there, but our station was. And
I caught highlights of that
right,
one as well. Yeah.
By accounts, it didn't seem like he had his best game. Maybe they don't throw the ball as much as you would expect from a D1 quarterback, or at least in that game. But, I mean, East Lansing seems to have a pretty good defense. So will Nolan Bird and Grand Ledge struggle again to score points? Maybe. It could be another low-scoring game, but I don't expect Grand Ledge's offense to not put up points two games in a row.
Right.
So Chip, I don't know. This is going to be a hard game. I think it's because they're at home. I'll give them a few points at home for Grand Ledge to win the game.
And staying in the blue, you know, a 2-0 Lansing Sexton team, as you mentioned, Zach, you know, they will hit the road to play that Lansing Everett team, winless squad under first-year head coach Chad Foster. This will actually be the last league game between these two because the Big Reds, of course, are moving to the CAAC White come next year. Will Sexton make it four out of the last six tonight?
They will. I think it'll be tougher than people think. Sexton is still, I don't know if you call them raw, but they make a lot of it. They had a lot of penalties against Portland. I know it's early on in the season, and Dan Bogan's a, you know, a great coach, obviously, with a track record, and he's a guy who's going to fix that sort of stuff. But I think that game will be close. Sexton will probably, I would guess them to pull away in the fourth quarter. But as far as the rivalry, I don't know what the schedules look like in the future years, but I do hope they do a crossover.
I hope so as well. I love watching that Everett and Sexton battle for
sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different energy on the basketball court. I'm sure that'll continue because they'll continue to play each other in basketball. But, that would be something interesting to see is because I think, you know, those when you look at who's played each other the most, I think Sexton has played Eastern, you know, 65 times or whatever in their history, and then Everett's right behind them. So it's historically one of the better, you know, the rivalries around here in the city battle, and there's a lot of pride on the line, that sort of thing. So
definitely.
I think Sexton's 3-0 after tonight, but I think Everett gives them a good run. I think that'll be one of the better games, kind of a sleeper for one of the better games of the night.
Definitely. And, you know, Dan Bogan, I mean, it's crazy because two seasons ago, this was a Sexton team that only won two games. Then they turned it around last year with a 7-win season, and now they're off to a great start to the season this year. All right, the GLAC, four teams that are undefeated at 2-0. As we mentioned, Lake Odessa Lakewood, which has won the last two GLAC titles, and 12 consecutive league contests, which date back to 2014.
Right. They're a great story, too, just because they hadn't done anything a couple years ago. Nick Boucher came in there and turned that program around, and but now the GLAC is very competitive this year. It's an exciting league.
Very competitive. And, you know, along with Lakewood, you have Olivet, Perry, and Vermontville Maple Valley, who are all 2-0. Perry and Lakewood,
Maple
again.
Maple Valley's 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. So, four Undefeated teams at 2-0. Perry and Lakewood go at it tonight. What's the likelihood of possibly seeing the Ramblers upset the Vikings tonight? I know that's hard to say against a team like Lakewood. They played last year, and it was a 5-point win for Lakewood. Very competitive. What do you see tonight, Zach?
This is one of those ones that I hesitate to say much just because I haven't seen Lakewood, and we haven't been to a Lakewood game so far this year.
Mm-hmm. But I have seen Perry. What's being reported, right?
Right. Yeah. But I have seen Perry twice. And I like what they're doing on offense. Mm-hmm. They're able to sling the ball, and I can only remember numbers, not names. Number 15 always seems to have his hand on the ball for Perry and scoring their points. They've got a nice mix of ground game and air game. Head coach Jeff Botts out there. He's another former Charlie Atluski understudy too. Another Hazlitt guy. Him and
the coaching tree out there.
Yeah. Once you're around for as many years as he has, you produce some other good coaches around the area. And the same is true for John Fletcher at Fowlerville. Anyway, I don't know what to expect from. I think that'll be another sneaky good game tonight too. And it kind of goes back to early league. League championship games in week three, as much as it doesn't make sense. But I mean, like you said, Maple Valley's 2-0. I don't know how long that'll continue, but Olivet is 2-0. Is that the other side? 14 Olivet? Yeah, yep. They're always in the mix.
Right.
So that's one of the leagues that probably has a high chance of not having an undefeated champion, just because I think a lot of these teams can beat each other on a given night. And Leslie's in the mix too, right? Aren't they 1-1?
Leslie is 1-1. They beat Dansville in week 1, and then they lost to Brooklyn Columbia Central in week 2. That was a 49-32 loss for them.
I think Brooklyn's 2-0. I could be wrong on that, but I mean that's a Jackson team that had a good start this season. But
yeah,
I mean,
they are 2-0. They beat Napoleon and Leslie. So
you know, the GLA, the GLAC will be fun to watch this year.
Yeah, very competitive for sure. And you know, the Ramblers. They have outscored their opponents in the first two games, 94-14. They did much of the same last year, beating Lanesburg and Dearborn Heights Star International by a combined score of 86-0. So they began the year 2-0 last season, Zach, before losing to Lakewood by 5 in week 3. You know, 2-0 start for Perry. Maybe smoke and mirrors, though. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
That is maybe a little bit misleading because that Star Academy team, I don't think, has won a game in a long, long time. And I think every single time a mid-Michigan team plays them, they put up 50, 60 points or something on them. So not to say that, you know, Perry didn't go out and dominate because that was one of the games I was there for.
Right.
And they scored a lot of points, as you said. Right. But no, I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. It's we were expecting them. They were a win short of the postseason last year.
They were.
And
I think we both chose him to finally, you know, get rid of the curse and hit the playoffs this season, right?
That'd be so cool.
Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be a really good feel-good story for Perry.
You love to see that with local teams. And that was kind of the story with Lakewood to a lesser extent a couple years ago. And then last year winning the district title. That was the first time I think that ever won the district title. So it's nice to see, like, firsts for our teams and for the kids who work hard to put out and the product and kind of what they've been working for on the football field,
Definitely, and speaking of putting out the product, you guys have been doing a fantastic job. Week 3 of the Sports Blitz, you can catch it tonight at 11:15 on WILX TV 10. Zach, which games will you guys be covering tonight?
We will be at 11 games, I believe. Could be 12. I have to take a look at that again. But obviously the headliners are kind of coming from the ones we talked about. Perry and Lakewood's a big one. Portland and Williamston in the white will be there for that. In the red, it's Hazlitt and St. John's. And then in the blue, there's a couple of the big ones with East Lansing, Grand Ledge, and the city battle, Sexton and Everest.
Yeah,
those are just a handful. About half of the ones will be at. And then, you know, Okemos is playing at Eastern. We got Waverly, Charlotte. There's just a bunch of other. We'll be down in Holt and Jackson as well.
Okay.
A couple 0-2 teams. In the blue, starting CAAC play, so one of them will get their first win, and we'll be there for that too. So, got a good show coming up tonight, and I think we've been doing well and kind of steadily improving. We get a little bit more extra time to show what we want to show. So, I think I mentioned it last week. We do a band of the week.
How has that been going so far? Who was last week's band of the week?
Last week it was Williamston. We had the Hornets on there, marching Hornets. Tonight,
how does that work? Do you just do you plan that beforehand, or do you know who you're going to give it to beforehand, or
typically,
when you're kind of out
yeah.
and about?
Yeah, you know, it just matters who's where, and mm-hmm. you know, some schools don't have bands. You know, they don't do halftime performances. We try to get them on the field doing something cool, and we've got good feedback from the parents. I mean, because it's a woefully undercovered aspect of high school athletics. I think it's so cool, and I think everyone enjoys the band. You know, you don't hear anyone say that they don't like the band, right?
Exactly.
Especially
right?
when they got the cool themes and they play three or four songs from mm-hmm. whatever it is, whether it be, you know, Star Wars or Disney movies or you know, that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
we try to give them, and you know, granted it's only about 30 seconds per show, but it's kind of cool to highlight them and all the hard work.
I think
that
it adds some nice flavor
yeah,
to it. For sure.
I think so too.
For sure. All right, Zach. And I'm really intrigued about that, that Williamson and Portland game as well. I mean, Portland, that's a team that's won, I believe, 11 straight CAAC white games. So we'll see how that pans out tonight. So a full slate, and I would be remiss if I did not get your thoughts on tomorrow afternoon showdown between Michigan State and Western. Western very competitive against the, at the time, number 4 team in the nation in USC. A lot of people, you know, just looking out on social media, right? It's social media, but a lot of Spartan fans out there are a bit nervous about this game and are actually picking the Broncos to win. What do you think about that, Zach?
If you look at the how they did against USC, I understand that.
Of course.
But at the same time, everyone, I've heard a lot of people say, just based on what they saw, they say, oh, well, Western's a very, very good team. Well, that's not what they were saying a week ago before they played USC.
Right.
So who knows? I maybe in a small camp, I just kind of go by my gut, and I think the ebbs and flows of a season, Western's probably going to have a lot of confidence, but I see this being all MSU. I think they need to score on their first drive. They can't fumble the ball 3 times like they did. I don't think that'll be a problem.
LJ Scott, we're talking to you, man.
I think he'll be all right. I don't think you need to tell him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you had to tell him twice because he fumbled twice. But I don't think you got to tell him 3 times.
Yeah.
If they punch it in on the first drive, they get 14 points. Their defense locks them down in the first half. I think Western won't come back, and honestly, I like Michigan State by 17 points.
By 17 points?
Yeah,
okay.
I think they're just – they lost too much. Just because they played well against USC, I'm not buying it yet, you know.
Not drinking that Kool-Aid.
But again, huh? I've been wrong on this show several times, so.
Well, I always say predictions are for losers, Zach.
That's right.
I mean, hey, you just never know sometimes.
I don't typically do predictions because I don't like to be exposed in that way, but but when you put me on the spot, I'm not going to leave you hanging. So, I like Michigan State by 15, 17, 20 points, something like that.
The one, the only, Zach Berridge, sports reporter and anchor of WILX TV 10. You can catch Zach on your television tonight around 11:15, bringing you the latest in local sporting action, week 3 of high school football action. Zach Berridge alongside Phil Byrne. Zach, great job as always, my man. See you next week.
Thanks, sir. See you then.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports with Reflection Friday. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have 4 minutes left in the show. You know what? Let's dedicate one of those minutes to our dear friend and caller, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what is on your sports night, my friend?
Tommy, what happened to the undefeated season?
I knew that was coming,
Tommy,
Ray.
You're going to get beat up a few more times before the season's over. You better get used to it. You should have lost the Super Bowl. Atlanta would have played like Kansas City did last night.
I tell you what, though, but hey, Ray, in Tom's defense, that defense didn't give him any help throughout that game,
no,
especially.
That's part of the game. What
right?
do you think happened when Kurt Warner played?
That's true. I hear you. That's Kurt Warner. But hey, that defense did not help Tom Brady. Julian Edelman is not playing the rest of the year. Danny Amendola goes down. That was just That was a bad week one game for the Patriots.
I know, but people got to give Brady all the credit. They had some good defenses on all their teams, New England, over the years.
Yeah, true. And if they don't have one that steps up throughout this season, it's going to be a long year for the New England Patriots.
But
it's the Patriots.
I pray for it because, you know, they're number liars and cheaters. And I'll tell you what, there's another team I want to see go down 3 or 4 times. Jimmy, get ready. Wisconsin's going to pound you. So is Penn State. And Ohio State's going to definitely pound you.
But they'll beat Cincy tomorrow, right, Ray?
Well, I would hope for a major upset tomorrow.
You always do. Ray from Indiana.
Cincinnati.
Thank you, Ray.
Get them, Bearcats.
All right, let's close out the week here on WKAR's Current Sports with Reflection Friday. All right, Isaac, I just want to comment on the start of the NFL season. I'm amped about it. You see, I'm wearing my Dallas Cowboys hoodie. I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. Respect the star. We have Ezekiel Elliott, at least for week one, against the New York football Giants on Sunday Night Football. Looking forward to that. But also the Lions and Cardinals. The Lions right now are 1.5-point dogs, according to Vegas. I'm looking forward to seeing if Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick can get it going. The Lions have not had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2013, dating back to Reggie Bush. They did not even have a 500-yard rusher last year, as Theo Riddick came just shy of that. Jared Davis, linebacker, 21st overall for the Lions. I expect him to have a big game, though, against Arizona. Jim Caldwell calls him a born leader. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in that game against the Cards. And John Brown, he's always exciting to watch. He's healthy this year for the Cardinals. He may be a good fantasy get for anybody out there playing fantasy football. He had injuries last year. He was actually diagnosed with sickle cell anemia, had a cyst on his spine. What a comeback story if he can have a great year for the Cardinals this upcoming season.
No, Ken, I want to see Carson Palmer and David Johnson, the way that they navigate against a Lions line that was more or less stitched together in this offseason with, of course, the falling of several players from that line, Cornelius Washington, among others. I want to see how he plays. I'm taking the Lions, though, to win the game in high-scoring contest.
I think the Lions will lose this game. I think I said that yesterday. So they'll lose the Cards. But hey, we'll see what happens. We'll see you Monday, folks. Have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.